Hi. I am really sorry I can't be there anymore, but this happened on day zero. So I was at camp, at least briefly. My name is Theresia Reinhold. I'm a contemporary historian and a documentary filmmaker. And today you were supposed to see the rough cut of my current documentary on mass surveillance and privacy violations. The trouble was that unfortunately, through this accident, I have not been able to upload the latest version of the audio file. So I will point you to the rough cuts, which you can find on Vimeo.
Make a screenshot now.
But I will also, don't worry, I can't write this good right now, but I will definitely post this on Twitter later. My Twitter handle is Pandemonium21. And you can watch it there with an updated, better audio. And so today you will see a 7-minute exposé version with a really good audio, and it will give you a slight oversight about the project I'm currently working on. And the project is basically a documentary film on how mass surveillance violates human rights. And it is designed specifically for people without any prior knowledge on these topics. So it's inclusive, it's very barrier-free. We are planning to translate it into at least 20 languages with subtitles, voiceovers, sign language translations. And we also specifically want to design an app for that. So if you want to help with that or have someone who is really good at cross-platform use of app design, point them to the website. We need any help we can get. And we are also working heavily on creating a very specific. Is everything still?
Hold on, the audio got cut off somewhere.
Oh.
Yep, just in your last sentence. Yep, go ahead.
So what I wanted to say, because surveillance affects everybody, but in the public eye it's mainly discussed by white men. So we want to help shifting this bias by consulting the expertise specifically of women and people of color. You can find all of those specialists and all of those extra super informative information on this film on the website, which is information-doc.org. And again, that's on the Twitter and also on the SHA wiki. And somewhere around the stage should you can be able to find flyers, like postcard-sized flyers with all the websites and links online. And now you have a lot of fun watching this little video. Thank you.
And thank you. Okay. So what do you want to do, by the way? Do you want to keep the connection open so that you can hear what's happening here, or, well, you know the exposé, of course.
I know the exposé. I will try to keep the connection open, but yeah, it would be nice, of course.
Sorry, dude.
It would be nice to keep the connection open, of course, but you can also just ask me questions later on Twitter, for example, because.
I okay, let's keep the connection open and let's see if there's some questions afterwards. I think that would be nice.
Yes.
Okay, so I'll make you, well, a bit smaller now then. And let's have a look at the exposé.
Privacy, in essence, becoming a de facto crime. If you're exercising privacy, then you might be withholding something. And if you're withholding something, that means maybe it's something that's criminal in nature or something we need to know about. So just to be sure, let's not have any privacy.
Well, our privacy is a human right. It's also a fundamental right. And what it means is that you have the right to keep your life, your family matters, your personal being as yours. And if you want to share something with others, you would have to be on control.
So to me, human rights are something which has been put in place to guarantee the freedoms of every single person in the world. They're supposed to be universal, indivisible. You can't have pick and choose, you can't have just one human right. You have to have them all in order to be a free person.
Privacy is a fundamental human right as constituted in Article 12 of the International Declaration of Human Rights. No one shall be subjected to arbitrary interference with his privacy, family, home, or correspondence, nor to attacks upon his honor and reputation. Everyone has the right to the protection of the law against such interference or attacks.
Privacy is important because if we think of the alternative, if everything is public, if the norm is public, then anything that you want to keep to yourself has an association of guilt attached to it.
The way that human rights work is very much state-focused. So it's part of a state-centric system where states are responsible for giving you those rights. And I think that's where the main contention is, because if you don't have human rights, in some ways, you're not really seen as a person. You know, you can be dehumanized. Having those rights makes you human in the eyes of this system.
What is happening right now is that you don't have the control over what's happening. You don't even know the type of data that authorities or companies have. So people would say that they have nothing to hide. However, it would be up to governments and companies to tell you why they would be restricting your privacy, so your intimacy, your personal life, your family members, your friends, everything that surrounds you.
If the expectation is that we share everything about ourselves, then if we want to keep something to ourselves, then the question arises, why? And that should not be the world that we create. That's a chilling effect. It's a chilling effect on our freedoms. It's a chilling effect on democracy.
In terms of how human rights are affected by digitization, in a way, they aren't affected in terms of having any new rights. There's no need for anything new. Because they all relate to existing rights.
We have to understand that our data is not exhaust. Our data is not oil. Data is people. And if data is people, then we need to extend person rights to these technologies so that someone else cannot own you.
One of the things about privacy is that it's not always about you or me. It's about the people in our networks.
I really believe that argument, if I'm not doing something wrong, then I have nothing to worry about, is entirely false.
Der Sprecher, der mir den Satz, ich habe nichts zu verbergen, entgegenschleudert, der sagt nicht nur was über sich selbst, sondern er sagt in der Regel auch was über mich. Denn dieser Ich habe nichts zu verbergen Satz, eigentlich oft, ohne dass es ausgesprochen wird, die Komponente du doch auch nicht, oder?
You may be not doing anything wrong today, but maybe three governments from now, when they pass a certain law, what you have done today might be illegal, for example. And governments that keep that data can look back over 10, 20 years and maybe start prosecuting. You might have a democratic government today. But in your country, you might have an autocratic government in three generations' time, in terms of your elections, for example. You may be doing nothing wrong by being a homosexual, and yet you may be prosecuted for it.
Leider sind die Menschen, die diese Sätze äußern, oft nicht sehr lange in sich gegangen, bevor sie diesen Satz äußern. Oder aber sie äußern ihn aus politischen Motiven. Es hat oft Komponenten eben wie medizinische oder psychologische Informationen über einen selbst. Weil Krankheiten oder mangelnde Leistungsfähigkeit ein Außenbild von einem Menschen erzeugen, die er oft gern kontrollieren möchte.
And so for example, I have a lot of friends who are from Syria. People that I've met in other places in the world, not necessarily refugees, people who've lived abroad for a while, but those people are at risk all the time, both in their home country and often in their host countries as well. And so I might say that I have nothing to hide. I might say that there's no reason that I need to keep myself safe. But if you've got anyone like that in your network, any activists, any people from countries like that, it's thinking about privacy and thinking about security means thinking about keeping those people safe too.
So, let's get back to her now. I asked her to close down. Stop. I asked her to close the session because the audio was a bit off. I'll reconnect now. Boom, 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 boom. And here we go again. Hi, we're back.
Hello.
I'll show you to the audience.
I see light.
There we are. No, it's not. It's all a bit experimental here.
Well, it's just fine.
Right. Now, of course, you haven't seen the whole documentary. you haven't seen all of it, but from what you've seen, any reactions, any questions? Oh yes, that first. Yes, please.
In the documentary, are you going to talk about like systems being used to gather data and what the governments are doing with it?
Did you get that?
No, I'm really sorry. I didn't hear a thing.
Could you do it a little bit louder? Otherwise, I'll repeat the question for her.
Just repeat it.
No, please try again.
All right.
Closer to the mic.
Are you going to tell in the documentary what systems are currently being used to conduct mass surveillance and how the government is using that data?
So what systems are being used for mass surveillance? Are you going to tell something about that in the documentary?
I'm really sorry. I really don't understand anything right now.
We didn't get that. What was that? You didn't get the question, or?
No. There was just weird data-like sounds coming in here.
Yeah, we'll type the question. Where's the chat again? That's this one, right? Yep.
Oh, this is like delayed gratification. So the documentary will, well, thank you for your question. The documentary will basically cover both oversight methods. Companies such as, you know, of course, Facebook, Google, the big bad boys and girls, it will also talk about governmental oversight, but it won't go into detail of specific systems, because I think that would go far
too much into a specific knowledge, which could disrupt the idea that we have to make it really, really clear and easy. So we're gonna, for example, explain that you're being tracked online and how, you know, these tracking steps work and profile is being created of you, which then can be used by companies to, you know, create targeted advertising, also could be sold to governments, you know, for the fight against terrorists. But we won't go too much into specifics of single applications, systems. That was the question.
Well, the audience got pretty bad here. Let's see. Anything that we could do? I'll just translate it from here to there. Any other question? If not, let's give her a big round of applause now again. And woo! And yes, and any last words, Theresia? Pandemonium 21, we've got it. Thanks a million for being on Skype.
Thank you.
Get well soon, and we'll meet in another festival probably.
Definitely.
Bye.
Have fun.
Bye bye. So I've set up this small thing here. We've got Theresia Reinhold, her Twitter handle pandemonium21, and this is the direct link to the rough video. Have a nice night.